Hello there, my friend.
I'm glad you're back. You are listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I am your host for today, Dumisani Mfune. There's so much that we're going to talk about today. But let me start off by telling you something that happened to me when I was a little kid. Growing up, there was a hymn that was sung quite a lot at church. The chorus goes like, "Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more." Now, there was this guy, much older than me, full of jokes, was really funny. And he said, "Hey, Dumi, come here. You know why, you know, in the hymn says bread of heaven, and in the Bible you find many references to bread." And I told him, "No, why?" And here I was expecting some deep theological explanation. And this guy says, "Well, in those days people hadn't yet invented stoves and ovens and foods like pizza and hamburgers and fried chicken hadn't yet been invented. So all they had to eat was bread." I had a good laugh that day, but I realized that, there has to be a little more to it. Well, guess what, guys? Today, we're going to be talking about, believe it or not, bread. There is more to it, especially when the Bible talks about bread. So I hope after we hear from our friends from Spotlight, that will help to clarify things a little more and give us more understanding about bread. You'll be amazed at what you hear. I mean, bread is found all over. And there is a reason for that. That is what we're going to look at today. So let us switch over and hear from our friends from Spotlight.
Welcome to Spotlight. I'm Robin Basselin.
And I'm Ryan Gertzma.
Brot.
Chapati.
Naan.
What are these people talking about? Well, it is one of the world's most popular foods.
Ikmik.
Pow.
Makata.
Bread. Bread is one of the world's oldest foods. Its history starts thousands of years ago, a long time before people started to record historical facts. Scientists have studied the customs of ancient cultures. They think that two particular people groups planted and used wheat. Wheat is the main part or ingredient in most bread. These groups lived in ancient Egypt and Mesopotamia, part of modern Iraq. At first, they ate the wheat grain just as it was. But over time, they found other ways to use it. They crushed the wheat and added water. This made a thick, soft dough. People held this soft, smooth mix over an open fire. It then turned into a hard, flat bread.
These ancient people groups made another discovery, but this time it was by accident. People found that if they left the uncooked dough for a time, something strange happened. When they cooked it, the bread was sometimes softer and lighter. Later, they discovered that this was caused by yeast. Yeast is a very small organism. small enough to float on air. The yeast in the air reacted with something in the dough. It created gas. This gas made the dough rise. So when they cooked it, it tasted good. Later, people learned to add yeast to control the taste of their bread.
This new food, bread, had a particular influence on the behavior of these ancient ethnic groups. They discovered that they could store wheat. And they found that uncooked bread dough kept fresh for some time. This meant that people did not have to go and search for food every single day. And so it left time for them to learn other skills that would help develop their society.
Bread soon began to take an important place in people's lives. From the most unimportant person to the highest official in the land, everyone liked to eat bread.
Today, thousands of years later, many people visit the Egyptian part of the British Museum in London. In the Egyptian part of the museum, visitors can see bread that is 5,000 years old. Archaeologists found it in an Egyptian king's funeral building. The king wanted to have bread to eat in the next life. So, he ordered that people bury some bread with him when he died. It would taste terrible today.
In the ancient Roman Empire, bread making had become a real skill. Not just anyone could do it. The government formed a bread makers organization. A member of this organization was called a pistor in the Latin language. In English, it means baker. The bakers cooked or baked the bread, and they enjoyed special treatment. First, they were free men. They were not slaves. Second, they could not mix with theater people, actors and fighters. The government thought that the behavior of such people could have a bad influence on bakers. Bakers had to be pure in their behavior. And third, being a baker was a job for life. A baker could not change to another job, even if he wanted to. His children had to become bakers also. The art of making bread was to stay in the family forever. Being a baker in Rome was a big responsibility.
Over the years, the main ingredients of bread, wheat, water, yeast, and salt, have not changed much. However, different cultures have created their own versions, and some of these are
pita, a small, round, flat bread eaten in Middle Eastern countries. People cut it open and fill it with meat or vegetables.
Baguette, a long, thin stick of white bread. Baguettes are very popular with French people. They eat them at almost every meal.
Roggenbrot, a popular bread in Germany. Bakers use dark rye grain instead of the usual wheat. This gives Roggenbrot its special black color.
Injera, a bread made from a kind of wheat called teff. Teff is the most common wheat in Ethiopia. People here mix the teff with water. Some time later, they take the teff and water mixture and cook it in oil. The result is flat and thick. People eat it with meat and vegetables.
It is true that bread has been a popular food around the world for a long time. It is easy to produce and is full of goodness. But years ago, bread was also a sign of someone's wealth. The whiter the bread, the richer the person. Why? Well, the natural color of crushed wheat is not white. It takes a number of processes to make the wheat as white as possible. These processes involve removing every small unwanted particle and crushing the wheat even more. All this takes time. So in the past, white bread was more costly because it took longer to make. If someone bought white bread, they usually had plenty of money. The poor people were left with darker bread. This was made from wheat that still contained impure particles.
However, it seems that the poor people may have had the better result after all. Scientists later discovered that bread made with whole grain wheat was more healthy. So darker bread made with impure wheat was better for people's diets. Today, eating white bread is less popular in many countries. People know that whole wheat bread is better for their health.
Bread is an important food. So in language, people often use the word bread to mean any important and simple need for life. Every week in church, many Christians say the prayer, "Give us this, our daily bread." They are asking God to provide all that they need for life, not just food to eat.
People also talk about bread and butter work. These are the important things that we need to do as part of our job. And they often use the word bread to mean money. A breadwinner is the person in a family who earns the money. The word bread has become part of culture in so many ways.
Are you having bread with your dinner tonight? What kind will you eat?
If you just joined us, you're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. We just heard of how bread is used in many, many different cultures. It's something we eat in many different forms. We need it for our sustenance. However, there's another form of bread, the bread of life. And I'm not talking about physical life. I'm talking about your spiritual life. I'm talking about eternal life. The bread of life that I am talking about is contained in a special book called the Bible. Now, I know people have their ideas about the Bible, but it's because they've never let the power of the Bible come real in their lives. Well, right now, guys, we're going to hear from Pastor Ndabezinhle. He's going to be sharing from this book I just talked about, the Bible. Now, this compilation, the Bible, has other books, sections in it. And he's going to talk from a section that a lot of people find difficult to understand, but he's going to help us understand. I hope you'll be blessed.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ndabezinhle Mvelase, and I will be presenting to you a series of sermons about the seven churches in Revelation. A story is told of a young man. His father had sent him to bed because that was his time to go sleep. When he gets to his room, he starts reading a comic book. Now, in the comic book, the star of the comic, his hero, was being beaten up by the evil guys. And as they are beaten up by the evil guys, he hates reading that comic, so he just throws it away. But after a while, he's anxious, he's curious to know what happened. So he picks it up again and he opens to the back of the comic to read how the story ended. And when he reads the ending of the story, the ending of the story tells him that at the end, his hero beat the enemy and he was victorious. This made the young man very happy because he started all over again to read his comic. Now, every time when he is reading it, he would laugh to himself and he would say, "Only if they knew what I knew." Then he kept on doing it. He would read and he would laugh and he'll say, "Only if they knew what I knew." His father was downstairs and he heard him say this, but he was curious, wondering what's going on up there. So his father goes up to his son's room, and when he gets there, he says to his son, "Son, what are you laughing at?" He's like, "Dad, I'm reading this comic book, and they're beating up the hero." Then his father says to him, "Is that something to laugh about?" He's like, "Dad, at first I cried. At first I was angry. But I went to the back of the book. And at the back of the book, our hero is victorious. That's why every time when the bad guys are beating up my hero, I laugh to myself and say, only if they knew what I knew, that in the end, the hero is going to win." Basically, that is a summary of the Bible. At the beginning of the Bible, God's people are faced with trials and tribulations, and our prophets are slain, and the messengers of a God are treated like bad people. But then you go to the back of the book. You go to the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation is a book of victory. The book of Genesis is a book that is linked with sin. You find in the book of Genesis 3 verse 22, that people lose their access to their tree of life. The book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 7, God restores that tree of life. In chapter 2 verse 17 of Genesis, death is introduced and people are subjected to death. In chapter 2, verse 11 of Revelation, people are given victory over death. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, men are supposed to earn their own bread through hard labor. In Revelation chapter 2, 17, man is given to eat of the hidden manna. In Genesis 3, verse 24, men lose their dominion. but in Revelation 26, that dominion is restored. And Genesis 3 verse 7, we become naked. We lose that garment of light that covers us. But then in Revelation chapter 3 verse 5, God gives us a garment of white. And finally, in Genesis chapter 3, 23, we are driven from God. The sin that man has created has caused him to be separated from God. But thank God, only if they knew what I knew, at the back of the book, in Revelation 3, verse 12, we are no more separated, but we are restored to be with our God and Master. So that is generally the story of the book of Revelation. Revelation is a book about grace. It's a book about restoration of that which is lost. And as we're going through this series, God reveals to us certain things that we must know and be ready, things that concern our time, things that concern the time that has passed, and things that concern the time that is going to come. And God does this because he wants it not to be a surprise when it happens to his people, but so that they know what to do when it happens. Because before this illness has come in, God has prescribed the medicine. Now, children of God, I love for you to come with me on this journey. Let us experience the work of God, the Word of God, working in our lives and changing us and revealing to us what must be. We start off from Revelation chapter 1. In the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this book is sometimes called the Revelation of John, but that's very unbiblical. As verse 1 tells us, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. John was used, just like you and I are used by God, to send this revelation to us. You see, God says in verse 1, he wants to show his servants what must shortly come to pass. You see, it is important to God that we know what is going to happen so that when it does happen, it doesn't catch us with our pants down. When it does happen, we will not flee. If it does happen, we do not lose that faith that we have. So God wants to prepare us. He wants us to be prepared for what is about to come. Now, in verse 5, of Revelation chapter 1, it talks about Jesus, the Prince of the Kings of the world. It talks about Jesus has made you. Jesus has made me. That which was nothing to be something. Don't you feel proud that because of your sins, you were lost, because of the things and the evil that you had done? God has found it fit to give you a white robe and a crown and to call you a prince in his kingdom. That's what we have earned. Most rulers, when their subjects do something wrong, they would just throw them away, kill them, in fact, and behead them if that be the punishment. But we find in the kingdom of Jesus, he comes down to die for us. And after dying for us, he gives us his seat, a throne for us to sit on. Finally, Jesus, in the book of Revelation, reveals himself to us. You read chapter 1 from verse 13. It tells us that Jesus is the man who walks amongst the seven candlesticks. The seven candlesticks represent the seven ages which are about to come into the world. Jesus tells us that he's among those candlesticks so that we know that amongst these ages, Jesus is present. My brothers and sisters, unfortunately, we'll have to stop here for today. But I want you to know that in whatever you're going through, Jesus is present. God bless you, and we'll see you next time when we continue on our revelation. Amen.
That was Pastor Ndaba with a foretaste of what's to come as we study from the book of Revelation. Guys, sadly, our time is up. But remember, inasmuch as we need physical food to keep us alive, we should not neglect the spiritual food as well. We get the spiritual nourishment from the Bible. It's important we study from the Bible. Inasmuch as it's important we eat every day, we need to feed our spiritual nature. If you want to find out more about studying the Bible, I've got great, great Bible studies for you. All you need to do is write and request them, and I'll make sure you get a copy of these amazing, amazing Bible studies, and you will be spiritually healthy. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa. The postal code is 7129. If you have access to email, email us. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. I'll repeat that. awr@sidmedia.org. You can also check us out on Facebook and leave your details there. But guys, I want you to be fed with the bread of life. Sadly, guys, my time is up. But remember, right here on Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice that if you follow, through God's help, will keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. God bless.